And again, welcome to Sunday School Sunday. This morning, both services are hosted by our Sunday School children, their families, and our teachers, as well as coffee hour. So please be sure to enjoy fellowship with us in between services. A lot of the children and their families, as we all have been experiencing, have been sick with this flu bug and cold going around. So there were quite a few children who signed up to be here today, but unfortunately either their parents or they were sick. So I ask you to keep them in your prayers this morning and so that everybody could get back to good health and back to church and back to school and their activities. On Sunday mornings when we come together for Sunday school, we meet in the sanctuary for about 15 minutes before class starts. And it's just a time that we can get together as a group to talk to each other, to hear about different things that might have happened. We also celebrate birthdays at the beginning of the month for everybody who has a birthday coming up. But it's just a good time for the kids to get together. So in keeping with that, since there is no Sunday school this morning, if the children would like to come and sit together, you can either sit on the altar or sit up close, so that, you know, we kind of feel like we're still in class. But basically, class time is for everyone this morning. Before I start my sermon, I had a little bit of a lesson for everyone. So I'd like to just present that this morning and see what kind of results we get. Okay, come on up. Okay. The first question that I have for the children, mostly, is how many animals did Moses take on the ark with him? All of them? Okay. Anybody else? Mark? I'm sorry? Who said none? None? Okay. You think the answer is none? Okay, well, let's see what the answer is. The answer is none. It wasn't Moses, it was Noah who took the animals on the ark. Okay. Our second question is probably more for the adults. Where in the Bible does it talk about automobiles? I'm sorry, I'm blocking your path, Pastor. Is there anywhere in the Bible that we remember hearing about automobiles? No? Well, let's see. In Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all in one accord. So you didn't know I was a comedian either, did you? Okay. Okay, thank you. And finally, the last question is for the children and for the adults. Where in the Bible does it say 1 + 1 = 3?
Oh my God.
It's impossible. Is it?
It could only be 2.
Can it only be 2?
Extra 1 to make it be 3.
Okay. Who would that extra 1 be to make it 3? Okay, well, let's see what the answer is. Where there's 1 + 1, Jesus says he is with us. So if we have one boy and one girl, or one girl and another girl, always add 1 because Jesus is there. So 1 + 1 = 3. Any number when we come together, just always add 1 towards it because Jesus is always there with us. So that ends our lesson and my comedic career, I guess. I would like to now go on with my sermon for this morning for all of you. Pastor Choi announced earlier this year that 2015 would be the year of getting to know Jesus better. So when I prayed about what I should talk about this morning, Jesus reminded me of my journey with him over the past however many years I've been with him. And I thought maybe I would share that experience with you. I thought I would follow Pastor's lead and tell you how I've reached the point that I am at right now. It's not that my journey is over. It isn't, by far. But I've come a long way, and I've experienced a lot of things along that way. So I thought I would share it with you and the children this morning. My journey began, as most of ours does, as an infant when my parents had me baptized in the Catholic Church. Now, at that time, as a baby, I had no idea what was going on, and I probably cried through the entire ceremony. But I grew a little older, and it was time to register for school. And coming from the Catholic Italian neighborhood that I did, everybody went to the local Catholic school, because obviously that's where the good kids went. And I say that with tongue-in-cheek. And I began my formal education at the hands of the Felician nuns. Now, we were given catechism books when we went to school, and we had to memorize those books. We had questions, and we had answers. Some of the questions I remember very clearly. Who made me? The answer was, God made me. Why did God make me? God made me to show forth his goodness and bring me to everlasting life. They just stayed in my head, memorizing them. But we didn't have the opportunity. We were either not allowed to, or we just didn't think as children to ask questions. You know, there might have been something that we didn't understand, but it was strictly memorizing. When it was time for First Communion, it was more questions to memorize. And I remember very clearly kneeling at the altar rail, practicing for that big day, and the priest came up to me and he asked me one of the questions. And I kind of froze a little bit, and at the time I had long hair and my mom had them in braids, and he picked up one of those braids and he said to me, if you don't know the answer, I'm going to cut those braids off. And I just started crying. So luckily that kind of allowed him to move on to the next victim, and I was saved from having to answer that question. Then it was time for confirmation. More questions. This time, I remember it was 50 questions that we had to memorize, and this time we had to memorize them so we can answer them to the bishop. We had no idea which questions he was going to pick, so we had to memorize all of them. And when the day came, the bishop asked about 5 questions. So talk about instilling fear into someone. Speaking of which, I think the motto of my school was, God is going to punish you, which we know is not a good way. Everything we did was followed by that statement. And believe me when I tell you, I would go to confession every week, and I would confess the weirdest stuff just so I would cover everything so God wouldn't punish me. We were also told that the only reason you could miss Mass was if you were near death. So if for some reason I missed Mass, I would stay in bed all day so that God would think I was dying. And I probably prayed that I would, so I wouldn't have to tell the nun that I didn't go to church the day before. So as you can see, there was a lot of fear. Another drawback to my journey with Jesus in the beginning was that the Mass was in Latin. Again, more memorizing. You memorized those Latin words and you said them week after week, but we had no idea what they meant. I was in the choir as well, but all the songs were in Latin, so it was more memorizing. It was not a very healthy way to start a journey with Jesus as a child. And I'm not blaming my parents in any way, maybe the nuns and the priests a little bit, but it was the way it was back then. You know, that's the way our religion was taught to us. I guess they thought it was a good way, fear was a good way to raise children, so that they didn't misbehave. But it wasn't a healthy way to learn about Jesus. When I got older, I had gone to an adult education class, and one of the activities was asking what our perception of God was. How do we see God? And all of those memories of fear came back to me, and I remembered my description of God was not a good one. See if you can picture this. I always thought that if I were to ever see God, the clouds would kind of drift apart, and heaven would open up, and here would come God getting taller and taller and taller in the sky. But what I remember distinctly was that he had a very angry face, and his hand would stretch out. And I knew he was pointing at me. And that stayed with me for a very long time. My understanding of Jesus wasn't all that involved either. My understanding of Jesus was for some reason that he was a symbol. He was a baby. And at Christmas time, we would put the manger out and we'd have Mary and Joseph and all the statues and I would play with them as if they were a toy. And we would hide baby Jesus and then at Christmas time, Christmas morning, we would put him in the manger and that would be Christmas for us. On Palm Sunday, it was all about making sure we got enough palm so that we could go around to all our family and give them a piece of palm, exchange palm on Palm Sunday. And Easter Sunday, honestly, was about the dress, the hat, and the shoes. You know, making sure you had all the new stuff. And then there was the Bible. My understanding of the Bible as a young child was I knew we had one in the house because on Saturdays when I dusted from my mom, I remember dusting this giant book that was on one of the tables. But we never really knew what was inside it. We never used it. And then at 20, when my dad passed away, the company that he worked for gave us a Bible as a gift. But because it was such a sad remembrance of why we got that book, nobody wanted it out. So it was put away. And it was just too bad that none of us thought we should read it to see what we could learn. So as I grew older and thankfully was not brainwashed beyond repair, I was able to start to form a new understanding. When I had my own children, I knew I could not teach them the way I learned. I didn't want to teach them that way. And actually, I remember my mom saying to me, don't ever tell your kids God's going to punish them. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess she had her epiphany as well, that it was not a good thing. But what also forced me to relearn my religion, my faith, and relearn about Jesus was when I volunteered to be a Sunday school teacher at the church that we belonged to. I knew I couldn't teach the children to be afraid of Jesus or of God, so I started learning over again. I started reading a lot, and through teaching and even listening to the children, what they had to say, I began to get a new understanding of God and his wonderful son, Jesus. They became real in my life, no longer a giant in the sky who was mad at me or a baby in a manger who came out only at Christmas time. And it made me make choices based on love and not on fear. So I realized I was starting to form a relationship with Jesus. As a mother, I looked towards his mother, Mary, as a role model for myself. I knew she was a much better mother than I could ever be. And I asked her to watch over my children and to take over for me when I wasn't there. So like any good relationship, it began to grow. And you begin to trust them, love them, depend on them, and even invite them into your home. And for the most part, things go very well when you're with Jesus. But then it happens. My family was turned upside down in a way that we could never have imagined or have expected. All I will say is that evil came into our home in the form of a friend and just changed everything. I could not understand why my journey with Jesus had made such a wrong turn. Always praying, keep my children safe, be with them, watch over them. Did he not hear those prayers? Didn't I say them right? Was he just ignoring them? And what about Mary? I asked Mary to watch over my children as a mother. Didn't she hear them either? Was this the punishment that the Catholic school had told me I would have because of the things that I did? But why would God punish me for my child? What did she have to do with it? Well, that was it. I wasn't afraid anymore. I was just angry. I was just upset with Jesus. I loved you so much. Why did you do this to me? Where were you when all of this was happening? And why didn't you tell me? Most importantly, why didn't you stop it? So I decided to end my relationship with Jesus. I stopped going to church, and the only conversations I had with him were when I cried and asked him why. In the beginning, when Sunday came around, it was kind of almost like a revenge to Jesus that if he didn't see me in church, he would get the message. He would know how mad I was. And then as the months went by and the Sundays went by, I actually felt glad. I had an extra day to sleep in, and I had a day to do things. I was beginning to feel no remorse for not being with Jesus. I realized that my relationship with Jesus was truly disappearing. This went on for about 4 years, and life was moving along, not getting any better. In fact, it was getting a lot worse. Days were filled with all kinds of problems, physical and emotional distress, illness, and a hole in my heart that I just could not fill. I knew I was missing my relationship with Jesus, but I didn't know how to get it back. What was worse, I didn't know if he would take me back. I began looking for a new church and new ways to get to know Jesus again, and I knew I couldn't get that if I went back to the Catholic Church. So a co-worker of mine had invited me to her church on Palm Sunday in 2003. I was very hesitant to go because it was Palm Sunday and a special service, and I didn't know, with my Catholic upbringing, I didn't know how another church would celebrate it. After all, it was a Methodist church, and I had no idea what those people did. But I stopped making excuses, and I said, it's now or never. So I did go to church on that morning. It was very significant that God would call me back on Palm Sunday. It was kind of like my hallelujah moment. When I walked in the church at Wesley United Methodist Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I knew I had found a new home. Holy Week, what better week to come and learn about Jesus, reliving what he went through, seeing that God didn't stop that either. Mary, his mother, as I was a mother, had to bear her child's pain. Why did I think my life was any different? Why did I think my child's life was any different? Jesus himself asked God to stop it, and it didn't. What was to be was to be. And with Jesus' resurrection, it will be my resurrection as well. So I was welcomed into the new church and began to find ways to learn about Jesus and to build my relationship again. It wasn't easy because as a human, there were a lot of things I wouldn't let go of. And I was also having a very hard time forgiving. But I realized at this point I had exhausted all the professional help within a 100-mile radius of my house, and nothing was working anymore. So I needed something better. I needed something stronger. So I decided that I would go for spiritual counseling. And when I got there the first night, the counselor asked me, what do you think has gotten you this far? Why do you think you have made it to come here? And she said, think about it, and you can give me an answer when you come back next week. But I didn't have to think about it. I said to her, I know what you want me to say. You want me to say it was God, but honestly, it was medication. I said, that was the only thing. And she said to me, well, why don't you think that medication was actually a gift from God? But I never thought of it that way. So after several months of spiritual counseling and finding amazing support in my new church, I was finally beginning to feel that my relationship with Jesus was growing and thriving again. I began to see that when life doesn't go our way or that goes terribly wrong, it's not a punishment from God. Unfortunately, it's the results of people's choices that they make. God has given us the wonderful gift of free will, and unfortunately, some people use that to do things that aren't right, and it affects us. But to go with that gift, God also gave us the ability to reason, to make decisions, and especially to know right from wrong. So how we use these gifts and the choices that we make certainly affect other people, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. But in my journey to know Jesus, I found out that the people hurt each other. Jesus doesn't hurt us. Many years have gone by, and today, at this very moment, in front of all of you and the children, I can honestly say with overwhelming confidence that Jesus loves me, and I love him, and we are friends till the end. I still have a lot of bumps in my journey, but what has changed is the way I handle those bumps, and rather than drawing me away from Jesus, it draws me closer. Talking to Jesus is not memorizing words in a catechism book. It's talking from your heart. And that's when Jesus really hears us. So to the children here today, my prayer for you is that have a friendship with Jesus. Always stay close to him. Learn about him. Ask lots of questions. And even get angry at him. He could take it. But don't be afraid of him, because he loves us very much. Use your gift of free will to make good choices. It's not always easy. Sometimes they're very tempting and very difficult choices. But when you're not sure of what to do, ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And always make choices out of love and never out of fear. Back in the day, whenever you were going on a trip, you would use a paper map to try to find your way. But things have come a long way now, and we use this little gadget called GPS, which is amazing sometimes. But it would be great if, as Christians, we had our own GPS. And I began thinking about that, you know, our GPS. And I realized that, in a Christian sense, GPS stands for God's Path to Salvation. And it is in the Bible. We've had it long before paper maps and the current technical GPS. And on that spiritual GPS, it has one direction, and that's towards heaven. It's towards home. We'll make a couple of wrong turns, as we do, but the end result is that he'll always get us there. So to the adults here who are already on their journey, I say to you, program your spiritual GPS and have an awesome journey. Finally, like many of you, Bob and I have a mortgage on our house, and for the past several years, the bank has been allowing us to live in it. And we're waiting for the day when we can walk out of the bank and say, it is finished, and the bank stamps it paid in full. But like all of us, I have another home. My home is heaven. And when I always had this thought of when I was born, I entered into an unwritten contract with God that says, you didn't ask to be here, but you are. And whatever life gives you, deal with it. But remember, we're partners in this contract, and we'll get through it together. So when Jesus died on the cross, the last words that Jesus said was, it is finished. And God stamped my contract, paid in full. Amen.